everyone. My name is B, and welcome back to another episode of This Week with B. So this week is, what is it, Monday commence 22nd? It's 22nd is the Monday commencing this week, right? It's Tuesday today, right? 23rd.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the week that you're listening to this is the same week that you're actually going to get to listen to it. We actually recorded the same week. So that's actually really cool. I actually managed to stay up to date for once. Although we're recording it the day before because I have been so busy this weekend. But we will go over a little bit about what you all did last week and all the content that we started, because we've literally just done so much this last week. It's kind of crazy. All of us have started so many various things. But before we do that, I do want to talk a little bit about the charity live streams, because for those of you who don't know about it, it'll be good information for you. But before we even do that, I need to tell you who's here. So today we have John, Sabrina, and James. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I thought I'd avoid the Discord echo.
Well, in case you guys need a reminder, because I know I put this at the end, but I thought it'd be good to put it in now. John, you can find his Twitch at twitch.tv/linsteaddm. Make sure you go and check that out. Sabrina's is twitch.tv/zombiesnowwhite, which I have to admit, I've always really enjoyed that username. And James's is twitch.tv/gloriouscover_, right?
Yep.
Okay. And there you go. So if you guys want to check those out, they are there. So starting off, before we talk about our weeks and talk about how you guys are doing, because I really want to get this out the way before everybody turns it off. Let's talk about the charity live stream. So, John, what year did you start the charity live streams?
We started the charity live stream in December of 2015.
Okay, so they've been going a long time. And this is a part of the group Distractions Media that I've been telling you guys a lot about on YouTube and on streams recently. For those who don't know, John might not know this, but I have been talking a lot about Distractions Media in my content recently. To remind you guys, to remind you guys that obviously we are a group together of content creators. I described it to my audience as kind of like the crew, which is It's Funny's group of content creators. We're kind of like that in a way, except we're not in every single video as the same group. Like in Hairs, every single person is in every single video. That's a bit too complicated. There's too many of us for that. But basically, as a group, we do a charity live stream every single year. Now, these charity live streams are usually the first weekend of December, right? And it's 24 hours every year. And in the last couple of years, we've been doing a Halloween stream as well, which happens usually, I want to say it's one of the weekends towards the end of the month, isn't it?
It's the last Saturday in October.
Okay, so closer to Halloween. And basically, you guys may have actually come to that stream that was 13 hours long. It was obviously, the idea was like half of the 24, you know, 12 hour stream, but 13 because Halloween and spooky. And that one's usually organized by Rob, isn't it? And we basically raise money for the charity throughout those two streams. So we actually already hit the 1,100, wasn't it, girl?
1,000 was the original goal.
Right. And we hit 1,100 in the Halloween stream, right?
We did, yes.
And so our current goal is $1,500 raised on the Christmas streams, but we're already at $1,200?
$1,200 and $5 as of today.
$1,205, so we're doing pretty well. So we're hoping to raise at least another $300 over the Christmas stream. So that starts on the 4th, Saturday the 4th, right?
Yes, correct.
Of December at 12 noon EST, which is 5 p.m. GMT, and obviously finishes 24 hours later. So we'd love to see you guys there, twitch.tv/distractionsmedia. It will be live on my channel as well. There'll be parts on, I'm sure, John's channel, Tamara's channel, Rob's channel. There'll be parts across all of them. But the last part of the stream, which is when we do a UHC in Minecraft, I stream it on the main channel. So I'll obviously send you guys over and you'll be able to come over to that too. But I'm really looking forward to it this year. John, do you want to tell them about the charity? Because it's Extra Life, isn't it, that we're supporting this time?
Yeah, so yeah, so we do, or at least have done for most of the six previous live streams, we did, I think four of them have been Extra Life. Extra Life, for those who don't know, is a charity that was founded, I think back in 2011, in coordination with the Children's Miracle Network, which raises money for children's hospitals across North America. They fundraise internationally, but the money does go to hospitals in North America specifically. Each of the people that sign up to raise money for that specific hospital, but as a team, we collectively raise money. So that's kind of how it works. So for example, I'm raising money for a local hospital here in Edmonton in Canada. Rob's raising money for a hospital close to where he lives, and so on. So that's kind of how it generally works. And it's a good charity that I think the great thing with it is, in my experience, is that I've had the hospitals reach out to us occasionally and talk to us about kind of the fundraiser. Like this year, the person who does their fundraising for their foundation reached out to me just before, because Extra Life does its own fundraiser at the beginning of November. And they reached out in advance and said, hey, we want to be able to watch you and blah, 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 blah. And so I explained everything about us and how we're a month later. And they were like, oh, that's great. I'll be sure to check it out. So, and then sent me some details and some information on where the funding goes, which I then shared out on social media a couple of weeks back, and we'll probably do again. But so it's based around raising actual money for actual research and for helping children while in hospital, you know, all through their stages, be it for things like toys, distractions of various types, improving their hospital rooms, improving equipment, all of those kind of things. And it's different from Canada to the US. So I'm not as familiar as what they do in the US, but I believe that's pretty much what the funding goes to typically. So it's actually going to, instead of like the salaries of some bureaucrat, it's going directly to the hospitals themselves. So I think that's a major step in the right direction. So that's why I do like the charity quite a bit. We have raised money for other charities in the past, but this is the one we've done for the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I've raised money for Extra Life myself before I was in Distractions Media a long time ago. I remember raising money and they sent me if you reached a certain amount, they used to send you a wooden phone case, like a phone case made of wood with Extra Life written on the back. And I still have it somewhere, but obviously it doesn't fit my phone anymore because it was for the generation of much smaller phones back then. And it's a really cool charity, you guys. They support a lot of, especially children's charities and things like that, and hospitals. And it's honestly a really, really good charity. And I feel very proud of us when we raise money for them every year. It's always such a nice thing. And over time, have we actually got a collective total of how much has been raised from every single stream since the beginning?
I did do one a few weeks back.
Okay,
so I don't think it's the most accurate at the moment, but I don't think it's off by a lot. Let me just bring up. Oh, all right. I realize I'm looking for it in Discord, and Discord's in front of me. so I'm looking the wrong way. Let me just bring it up because I'm pretty sure it's in our.
Okay, so while John does that, one thing I will say is that it's exciting because this year we also have James joining in with us as well. I'm assuming Sabrina will be involved in some way at some point with something we're playing as well.
I'll be watching.
Okay. Well, I assume if there's a game that we're playing that Sabrina has as well, you'll obviously be welcome to play it with us too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Throughout. So I'm sure you'll be involved in some way. And we actually have a few different ways. So we have a lot of DM people involved. There's a lot of people involved in this event. And then we have some of our friends involved as well, like Sabrina, like James, like Pershi is coming to join in as well. Iris is joining in with some of them. You've met some of these people in the podcast, some of the people you haven't. We might meet him in the future. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, there's going to be lots of us involved. I think off the top of my head, we have myself, Tamira, John, Felix is involved in some of them. We have Rob, Webby, Kat. I can see Dave's involved in some of the things as well, which is nice. Avalos. And then obviously, I'm sure Sabrina will hop in for some things. Did I already say James? Yeah, James and things. Basically, there's so many people, it's hard to even list them off because there's so many people getting involved with this. We've already had a bunch of donations on various people. One thing I would like to say, because a lot of the people listening to this already will know this, obviously, because you're my viewers mainly. Callin, who is one of the players of the game that I play on Roblox Royal High, actually already donated to the charity as well, which is super cool. So thank you so much, Callin, as well, for donating. So we've got a lot of people supporting and helping out, and I'm very much looking forward to everything that we're doing. Do you have that, John?
You know what? I don't. I can't seem to find it, which is very odd.
Do you have an average idea? So that's a big gap.
I think it's around, I think we're close to 7,700, is somewhere around there anyway, over the last 6 years.
So with this year, is either this year included?
I think that was with the Halloween stream included. So it's not up to date, but okay, so I do remember doing this calculation at some point, but unfortunately I just don't know where it is.
We could always do it for next week, but basically you guys, we've raised like almost $8,000-ish for charity so far. And we've obviously supported various charities. A lot of that was Extra Life. Some of it was Anxiety Gaming, wasn't it?
Yeah, back when they still were around. Yeah, Anxiety Gaming. And we
Railroad, was it?
Yeah, Rainbow Railroad, which is something Tamara would like to do again. And Special Effect in the UK.
Oh, yeah, of course. So do you know how you can choose like to raise money for a specific charity using Extra Life? Like Rob has been doing for his and you've been doing for yours. Mm-hmm. Can Tamara not choose Rainbow Railroad as hers?
So the problem... Okay, so the issue comes down to then we have to have a totally different setup.
Right.
Because Extra Life is only raising money for children's charities, children's hospitals.
And they're not a children's charity.
Yeah, no, they're not an overall charity that does other things. It's just developed around that. And that's why they have such integration with Twitch and stuff, which we don't have with the others.
Right.
So that's been my thing with it. It's not so much a disagreement with the actual fundraising, because I have no problem with that. It's just more the fact that, out of laziness, I kind of want to keep it sort of straightforward. So
I would say you're a bit hard on yourself calling it laziness. The straightforward benefit is that obviously it makes things much easier for us to actually raise money, because a lot of it's complicated for people. Most people know about Extra Life too, which helps. Yeah. And it has very solid integration with Twitch, which makes it a lot easier, not just for us to do because we're lazy, but also because it's easier for the audience to know where the money's going, which makes it more likely that they'll support the charities too, obviously. So yeah, it's one of those things that you just got to be like, you know.
Yeah, that was the biggest struggle, right? Because when you have charities in Canada, and I cannot remember, I've looked it up in the UK before, I don't remember, but like, in Canada, a charity must be raising money for something practical. It just can't be raising money to raise money. So we don't have charities for awareness as such. Mm-hmm. So you'll get these in the States where it's like, we're raising money for cancer awareness. And it's just basically to do a social media campaign saying, oh, cancer is bad. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
And they'll get charity codes for that, and you can't do that in Canada. You have to have some aspect of your charity that's actually practically doing something, if it's donating money to research or whatever. So it makes it difficult actually when you're trying to find a charity to raise money for, because most of them don't have really good online integration. Because like the ones that we tried to raise money for in the past, we wanted to raise money for mental health foundations and such, and they just had no integration at all. Mm-hmm. And I realize this is complicated stuff to talk about to people who may not understand, but it's effectively what it means is you don't have an ability to, like, the biggest difficulty we have is we have to have some way of showing how much money we're raising. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be automated so that it automatic, because the first year we did Extra Life, we did it all manually. So we had a collective spot where we could look at the totals and then just manually add them in. And so you would have to manually enter it in. You couldn't see who the donors were. All you got was the changing totals, right?
Yeah.
That's not ideal. Whereas with Extra Life and with other collect, like Tiltify is the one we've used in the past, it actually has an aggregator, so it aggregates the total raised and it tells you who the donator was. And that's very convenient. And if you don't have that, it becomes a lot more difficult. And we looked in the past at creating an app that would do it, but we just never came up with one that was good enough. And we don't have enough people with that kind of skill set to make that work. So for me, that just became, if we're going to trade convenience and use and effectiveness over raising for the ones we want to raise for, I'm going to go with the other, just because I still see, like, to be perfectly blunt, raising money for children's hospitals, good thing. And I have no problem doing that. It's not like I'm going, oh, I'm doing this because that's all I can do, you know? Because that's, you know, I want to make it clear. It's not a case of us going, well, we can only do this, so we're going to do this. It's more about, it's that combination of, it's an effective charity, especially at a time when we have COVID running loose. It's doing something useful and it's helping people who can't really help themselves, right? So all of that to me is important. And like I said, I would love to do mental health charities. I would love to do different charities. Like Rainbow Railroad is about helping LGBT people who live in countries where their life might be in danger. And so it's a valuable service. It helps get them out. It helps fund them so that they can get it to countries where they'll be protected. So it has a lot of very great things about it. And it's out of Canada, which makes it easier for us as a fundraiser here to actually gain donations. Because the other problem we run into, so to get really in the weeds, is that if you're in Canada, if you're donating to a charity, it's tax deductible. But if it's an American charity that there's no Canadian affiliate, that's not tax deductible, which in the UK doesn't matter, but in Canada definitely matters to a lot of people. Same with the US, really. Like there's a lot of people that donate because they can write it off at the end of the year on their taxes.
I've seen a lot of people that do that. They'll be like, options when you go to like pay for certain things, like when you do your taxes. I've noticed on American websites, there'll be a button at the bottom to like add a donation and stuff to things to donate.
Yeah.
Because you obviously can use it to write it.
Oh, yeah. Like I love the fact that the, when you go into, sorry, not to get too much into this, but when you go into grocery stores, they like to add this on for this thing that we're raising money for. And the funny part about it is that at the end of the year, when they donate all this money, they don't say, oh, thank you so-and-so for donating. They say, look at how good we are. We just donated $10,000 or whatever to this charity. It's like, no, you bloody didn't. You got it out of us.
Well, the biggest thing that I think I would say as well is that those other charities often don't have online donation portals as quite as easily integrated as the ones with Twitch. And we aren't allowed to collect the donations ourselves. It's not even that you don't want to. It's actually now against Twitch terms of services. You're not allowed to.
Okay, I didn't know that one. But
yes, it changed about a year ago. So it's actually not allowed to collect the donations yourself for a charity. They have to be collected through an officially recognized system. And Twitch obviously already have authorized systems, which are Tiltify and Extra Life and those type of things. If you're raising it yourself, you're not a registered charity, and therefore you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, so, I was never comfortable with that anyway. Back when,
well,
it
then
wasn't
as well, you'll be taxed on it too. You, because it'll count as income when it goes into your account. But at least in my country, if it goes into your account, the HMRC obviously are going to see that. They're going to attempt to tax you on it, and then you're going to have to write a lengthy letter about why it's actually a charity donation that you've received from someone else to give to a charity on their behalf.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot more effort than you'd like to go through.
Yeah, that's a lot of extra
paperwork. You don't
want it
to be difficult to support children. You don't ask whoever
it is. No, exactly.
You don't want it to be difficult. You want it to be an easy process so that you can support them as best you can. So Extra Life really provides that for us.
Yeah.
Plus, it is a great charity. So there's no reason to scoff at it. It's a fantastic charity with really great opportunities for children and provides very important healthcare for those people. So
And like I said, none of the other ones are bad. It's just what can they do? What can we do with them? And the minute we get out of this group, we have to have three charities. So that's the other problem. It's like you can't really have one. You now need three.
Because everybody has their own idea of who they want to raise the money for, which is fine. But
I mean, if we could get it so that it was like a collective thing, right? Like there are people that raise money that they'll have a collective. We have any one of these charities you can donate to, and it doesn't matter which one, and you pick whichever one you want, which is great, right? Mm-hmm. But we've not been a big enough brand to do that, because you got to be a big brand to get that kind of ability. Mm-hmm. And like outside of Tiltify, I don't know of anybody else. And I didn't enjoy going behind the curtain a little bit. Working with Tiltify was really a struggle for me because they were so slow to respond and slow to help when problems occurred. Mm-hmm. Whereas the charities were great. Like the charities were super helpful, but they were useless. Like when I had issues trying to get certain things done, they didn't either understand what I was asking or didn't know how to deal with it. So I've been gun shy from dealing with that. So that's the reason why we went back to Extra Life in the first place. I was like, you know what? That worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. Maybe, I know we're bringing back, we're going to be working on doing some summer fundraisers and things like that, aren't we, next year? So you never know. It might end up being that we do a mini charity fundraiser that's not part of the Christmas Dreams that goes to charities that everybody wants to submit rather than Extra Life. But we'll have to, there's lots to think about. But basically, we are raising money. Please come by. If you can support, that'd be great. If you can, share it. You know, the website is distractionsmedia.com/charity stream. If you can at least share it, that would be fabulous, because any little bits help towards, well, hopefully supporting lots of children. So with that said, which is definitely a much bigger segment than I was anticipating for the charity live streams, but hey, it's good to get some insight into how this stuff works. I think if you're watching this and you're not a content creator, you might not realize how much goes into making these things. So at least you get a little bit of information there. So now, since we've literally drowned out Sabrina and James so much, let's start off with James. James, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
It's been pretty good. I've been playing a lot of Minecraft on the new Wildcraft SMP.
Yeah.
I've been forced to play a pew-pew game that I'm actually enjoying.
Overwatch, yeah. I bought James Overwatch for Christmas as an early present on purpose to force him to play it with me.
Wait,
I need more.
Does that mean if I can buy PUBG for you, James, you'll play that too?
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah,
I'd probably be just as bad as I am at Overwatch. I'm surprised I actually got a 5-kill streak yesterday on it.
I mean,
wow. Oh yeah, well there you go. Seeing you liking it. See, you said you didn't like pew pew games, but all it took was someone to gift you one, and then you started playing it. So sometimes I think that's true, though, isn't it? Sometimes I feel like you don't know you'll enjoy something because you don't want to spend your own money on it. But then when someone else gives you it, you're like, oh wow, maybe I should have got this in the first place.
I think I enjoy the people I'm playing with more than I enjoy the game itself. The people make it fun.
Well, that's all right, because it's the same people that play PUBG, isn't it? So you'll be fine.
Except for this kid.
Well, yeah, but the wonderful Wildcraft SMP that you mentioned is my SMP that I just started. I'm referring to it as wonderful, which is a little bit cringy since I made it, but I'm taking it for myself. It's a new SMP in Minecraft that is primarily streamed. I think there's only one person posting it on YouTube. I think everybody else streams it either on YouTube or Twitch. So John and Tamara stream it on YouTube. The rest of us stream it on Twitch. Iris posts it on YouTube as videos. Basically, it's meant to be the super mega cutesy mod pack with like all the cutest mods possible, with like one or two tech mods and magic mods thrown in there just to satisfy some certain members of the community. Totally not referring to John or Tamira. But basically, it's a big mod pack with like 80 odd mods, which is actually considered a small mod pack by Minecraft's terms. But it is very exciting in my opinion. We've been loving it so far. I'm very happy with it because it's made a lot of my friends stream a little bit more regularly too, which I'm hoping is going to help them to grow. Because one of the biggest things of DM members is you all deserve to be significantly more successful. And I'm really hoping that this next 2022, the next year, will show and share a lot of that with you guys. And hopefully you will get to that point. But Wildcraft's been really fun so far. I have streamed it a lot. I don't know how many total hours I've streamed on it, but it's been a lot. I have done many 5 to 15 hour streams. I've streamed every day since it came out on Twitch. If you don't follow me on Twitch, because I know a lot of you guys only follow me on YouTube. If you follow my Twitch, it's twitch.tv/bplayers. I've been playing it every single day. I've done one stream that was 15 hours, one that was 12, one that was 8, and then the rest have been like 5 or 6, haven't they, James?
Yep.
We played a little bit of Overwatch on stream as well, but mainly Minecraft. I have been loving it. It's been so much fun after I record this. Even though once this podcast finishes, it's going to be like 11 o'clock by the time. I'm still going to go stream because I'm just too excited to play it and stream. I've been loving it so much. So yeah, it's been really fun. So James has been forced to join me a lot. But Sabrina, you have been streaming it a lot too.
I have.
At twitch.tv/zombiesnowwhite. How are you finding it so far?
I'm hoarding birds.
Yeah, I went to Sabrina's house and saw this like glass box outside of her house that's just filled with animals, just birds everywhere. Do you think of a bird in there? There's like some very strange looking.
Not quite. There are a lot of them, but I don't have all of them yet.
Not yet. Well, I'm just assuming that's a goal.
It is my goal, yes. To have all the birds, to craft all the food, and to have as many animals as I can. I'm going full farmer.
Sounds very exciting. I think I'm going to be saying you're going to like open like a little farm shop on there too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which will be exciting because a lot of us don't know how to play PAMS. There's a lot of foods in there that none of us know how to make. So, and I think food, Learning like which ones give you the most and stuff is actually quite difficult. So it might be nicer to just buy it from a shop instead.
Yeah.
But how's your week been, Sabrina?
Really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. How about you, John? How's your week been?
It's been stressful.
You've been moving offices, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And you had a house inspection.
Mm-hmm. So, which they didn't show up for, so that was fun.
Oh, so has it been rescheduled?
No, they just didn't show up.
Oh. Nothing like stressing you out for no reason.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, right. We spent 2 weeks cleaning our house because they came in, took one look at something and said, oh, that's terrible, and then walked out. And we were like, what? The rest of the house was fine. What are you talking about? So then, of course, we panic cleaned after that to the point where it's like, okay, every little dot needs to be gone now. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, when you have six people in the house, it can get kind of messy. Plus two cats who are not helpful. So we got all that done. And in the middle of that, on the day the inspection was supposed to take place, my office is moving from being an office with four offices, a boardroom, a kitchen, and a front reception area to a one office with two areas for desks and nothing else. So
you don't even have a kitchen?
Don't even have a kitchen.
I'll tell you a microwave?
Well, we do, but that's because we've taken the stuff from the kitchen that we had and then put it over there. But there's no actual
microwave on the table.
Yeah, so we have a microwave sitting on a table. We have a small fridge, thank goodness. It's like a British-sized fridge, really.
What do you do if you wash your hands?
Well, they have, like, facilities for that outside of the office. You have to, like, leave the office and go out to where the kitchen is for, like, they have a communal kitchen for the three offices.
Ew,
that are
I
up
hate
there.
Sharing things.
Yes, me too. That's why I wanted our kitchen brought over as much as we could. Because I didn't want to use their microwave. I didn't want to use their dishes. I didn't want to use their fridge because I've been in those environments. It doesn't work. I've shared with roommates. It doesn't work, let alone a bunch of people I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of went, okay, we're not doing that. So then on top of that, we had a bunch of stuff that we had nowhere for it to go. So we had to give away. And so we're on Kijiji trying to give stuff away, or Gumtree if you're in the UK. And then trying to sell stuff and having all sorts of weird and wonderful things to deal with. And it's just been a month of this. So I'm at my wit's end. So I'm glad it's all over.
Well, now that you're in it, how does the new office feel? Is it a major disappointment or can you manage, do you think?
We'll see what the internet's like. That's what I'm still waiting on.
But then that is a major disappointment then.
Yeah. That's been the major disappointment. So basically we set everything up. But the one thing I demanded was having internet, and they couldn't get it set up in time, which I was like, oh my gosh. So that's the reason why I'm home this afternoon, because basically what ends up happening right now is I have my laptop there and I daisy chain my iPhone to it. And that's how I get internet.
You shouldn't have to pay for that, though.
To be clear, my phone is through the company.
Okay, so that's okay.
I don't pay for it. It's just I don't want to use the company's data up because I'm watching YouTube a couple times, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So, because it's not like a lot of other places where you can get unlimited internet or really large amounts of data. We don't have either of those. So,
in Canada, or just at the plan you're on?
In general. We don't have unlimited. We have some that have unlimited, but they're unlimited to a point, and like they're unlimited in quotes.
Yeah, and then once you get a set amount, it's slowed down.
Yeah. But the majority have data plans, and they're not necessarily very good data plans.
Canada sounds weird.
Their mobile phone network is the worst I've ever dealt with.
We have only just got unlimited data plans in the UK. My network that I'm on only just got one. But it was quite expensive. And it turns out that another network, one that I used to be on, which didn't have one before, well, they did, but it was one of those ones where you use 80 gigabytes and it's super slow after that. And I was like, that's not going to help me because I used a lot of data back then for like work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I switched back to Ertu for everyone who's British or anyone who knows what they are.
Doxter Mobile Company.
Well, I switched to them because they came out with an unlimited plan that was truly unlimited, truly being you can use 600 gigabytes. And they don't limit your speed, but if you use that more than once, then apparently they'll email you and be like, this is, you know, this is too much for you. Clearly, we're going to take it off you. Now, I used 1.5K every month and they never said anything to me. So I just stayed with them. But they were charging me almost £40 a month for that. And I do not use that level of data anymore. I use maybe 6 gigabytes a month if I'm lucky, now that I have actual solid internet at home. GIFGAF, which is another network we have now come out with one that's much cheaper for unlimited data, or they just have cheaper plans in general, because I don't need that much data. So I'm waiting for my contract to end so I can get out of it, which ends in February, and switch back to a cheaper plan, because I'm paying too much for data I don't use anymore. But I noticed that in America, they tend to have really big plans rather than unlimited plans, but they do that family plan stuff, don't they, in America, where like you all share on a family plan. We don't do that here. Like, I always found that so weird. Like, you could have your whole family on one plan, you've got one set of data. I know you've got one set of data. What happens when one family member uses it all and the siblings start fighting over it?
Yeah.
Well, there are solutions to that. Like, there are unlimited plans and you can set data caps for each individual person.
Right. I still find it like weird.
Which then makes that pointless.
I'm never getting a family plan. I don't care how much I love the people I live with or the people I'm friends with. I need my data for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my data, and I'm going to pay for that, and I'm going to use as much or as little as I want to without having to worry about someone else.
So when you have a family plan, is it cheaper than having five different plans?
It can be. It depends.
Yeah,
right?
It can be. Or it could be way more expensive. Like,
it depends on how much data you're eating, basically.
One of my roommates has a family plan, and it's $60 per line, unlimited talk, text, and data. Unlimited everything. Truly unlimited. But I have, for the same thing, for unlimited everything, I would only pay $45 for my plan, who I have service through.
God.
So it's cheaper for me to say, it's cheaper for me to stay with a non-contract than it is for me to get a contract phone.
Yeah.
The only difference is I have to buy my phone separately and unlock.
Yeah.
Because I use Straight Talk.
So in Canada, the problem which we have currently is there's two conditions which cause most of our issues. One is that there are only 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there's only 4 providers in the country that own all of the networks. So if you go with one company, well, it's a subsidiary of this company. Oh, if you go with another, it's a subsidiary of the same company.
It's a subsidiary of the two. So
the issue with that is that one, they synchronize costs. So you don't get deals from one company that's significantly cheaper from another because they're basically the same. So there's one problem. Two, they all go around and now say, okay, you can. So the government said you can only have a max contract of 2 years because they were getting really bad about, you got to get locked in on this term with a phone for 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which we all know how good smartphones are. They break after 3 years. Like, who has a phone that lasts 4 years, 5 years? Nobody, because they start
not
to break
anymore.
Down. No.
Yeah.
So that became an issue. So they got rid of that. Well, then their answer to that, especially since the newer, more expensive phones have come out, is, okay, well, yeah, you only have a 2-year term, but so if you get a regular, like you want an iPhone, like a newer iPhone, for example, your starting is going to be $60 a month, but that's not the real cost, because the real cost is you pay $60 a month for your package, but the phone itself is another $30 to $50 on top of that a month, because you're paying off the excess cost.
Yeah.
So
that's
effectively
the same thing here.
Yeah. And so what happens is you get less cost depending on how you get the phone. If you get the phone by paying a bit for the phone, it's a little less. If you pay a little, you know, if you pay nothing, it's going to be a lot more. So it works out to basically between about $100 to $120 a contract per month.
Which is ridiculous.
And none of that comes with unlimited data. None of it. It's
that
all, I think.
How much that costs.
Yeah, I think it's all around 20 to maybe a maximum, if you're lucky, 50 gigabytes of data a month.
That's and, so bad. It's £40 here for unlimited data.
Yeah. Like, well, they got into trouble here because what they did was is they went, okay, you can have this amount of data, but if you go over it, we're not going to cut you off. We're just going to increase the cost and not necessarily inform you that you've gone over your data cap. So there was a point where one person, I think it was a kid, a teenager, had gone over their cap. How much did they? I think they had 1 gigabyte. Now, this is back a number of years ago. They had a 1 gigabyte data cap, and they went over it by 30 gigabytes. And that their charge was 10 grand for that month.
That's so unbelievable.
Yeah. So after that, the government started to realize this is a bit of a problem. So now they like, okay, if you're this close, we text message you to say, by the way, you're about to go over. So they have to actually give you a warning.
Yeah, they do charge you if you go over, but you can go online and press the button to like make it a hard cap. And so I have a hard cap. So if I went over, it just cuts me off. But I can't go over anyway, I've unlimited. But if I didn't, it would cut me off because I've set it.
Yeah.
To. If you don't set that first, then it does what you're saying where it texts you, but then you go over and then you start getting charged.
Yeah. And the
internet
thing is,
down here used to have a similar issue where it's like, oh, if you go over your data usage, we're going to charge you $10 per certain amount of gigs of data you use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the government was like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, it adds up very quickly. James, how much data do you have?
I don't have a phone plan anymore since I'm just at home all the time. So it's like, it's pointless to play it or pay for that. But I used Boost Mobile before and I was paying $50 a month for unlimited talk, text, data, 10 gigs of mobile hotspot. And then if you're with them for a year, you can finance a phone through them for, when I got the Galaxy S9, it was $1 down and $30 a month.
Right. So, interestingly, so wait, do you just do what, I don't know what Americans call pay and good. Do you just like put...
Yeah, prepaid.
Prepaid.
Prepaid, yeah.
You need to use it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I have.
We refer to that as putting credit on your phone, but it's pay and good or prepaid is the official term. So GiftGaff, the way they work is that you pay a monthly thing, but it's not contracted. They just give you so many texts, so many whatever, for that amount that you put on your phone each month. So I just you just have it set to do a recurring payment, you know, so it just keeps doing it. So you don't have to think about it. That's what my family all do. I am on a contract because my contract is separate to my phone because I just earned my phone. I don't have a contract for my phone because I did have one, but I paid it off. And so I just have my phone now. And then I just have a contract separate just because it was cheaper to get the data when I knew I was going to pay monthly anyway. And I was like, okay, well, it's cheaper to get the data if I sign a contract. So I did. Now, when my contract ends in February, I'm just going to go on one of those ones where you can keep it as long as you want. And you can cancel it whenever you want, you know, like prepaid. But they have something called goodie bags where instead of having the £10 to use as you wish, you can pay and buy a goodie bag, if that makes sense, which has so many minutes, so many texts, and so much data that it lasts a month. And then expires after 30 days. But because I know I'll use that, I don't mind having that. And I'll just set like a regular like a automatic payment up to do it. So I don't have to think about it. But the amount of money that I'm spending on my phone right now is like £40 a month for all the data and stuff that I have. What I actually need now would probably be about £10 a month, like 30 less, because I don't need that level of data anymore. So there's no way I'm going to keep paying for it. But because similar to you, James, I'm at home a lot. I work from home. I have good internet at home now. I don't need that data anymore. So I only leave my house a little bit. So I only need a little bit, same as you. So like prepaid for me is fine once my contract ends because I just don't use as much data anymore. So there's no point in paying so much for it. It's funny though, isn't it? How companies treat like internet data and stuff like it's oil, like it's going to run out, and they charge you so much for it when it's not. It's an unlimited resource that in reality, if they improved their infrastructure, would not have that many issues on people using it that much. And I know they say like, oh, but some people like go crazy, but the amount of people that actually use a lot of data is not that many people. When you think most average phone users are like adults that go on Facebook 3 times a week, it's, you're not going to use that much data. It's only people like us that would use a lot of data, but we're not the majority. So they do treat it like oil.
And none of us would sit there and go, let me play this game and have OBS running and stream on Twitch on my data cat. Like, no, that would not work. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I used to do before I got internet, obviously. But then wow. They could have a plan for people that need that. They could have a separate plan if that's such a big deal. And let the rest of us who would just use it normally not pay for it like it's going to run out, because it isn't. They charge an unbelievable amount for something that is unlimited resource. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
But yes.
Dating apps are just in general are annoying because my fiance works away from home. And he needs to use that data to, like, listen to music and stuff so that he doesn't go crazy at work.
Yeah.
And he meets his data cap, and that's it. He has no data. And it's just annoying. It's like, why?
I have to say, one good thing about my network with her, too, is they're not super expensive. They're like a middle ground. They're not super expensive, not super cheap. But James, weird thing for me, because I find it very strange that you have a set data cap that's separate for personal hotspots. That's included in your data here. I don't think any network does that, where it's a separate thing. My network, I have unlimited data, but my personal hotspot's included in that. So I can use as much data on my hotspot as I want, because it's my data. I've paid for it, you know? I don't have to have a separate one for personal hotspot. But I've read a lot about that in America, how you often have either personal hotspots not included in your data package or is a separate data amount, which is very strange to me. Secondly, on my network, streaming with Apple Music or Spotify is free. So you have to have data, but as long as you have it, it doesn't actually take any data off to use those. So they've done that on purpose, since obviously the rise of streaming has become bigger than downloading and saving to your phone. And I think the reason they've done that is probably to encourage younger people to want to be on the network, because we all stream so much music.
They banned that in Canada. You can't do that.
They banned it from being allowed to be free?
No, what they did was they banned you, a mobile company, because it used to be that we had a couple of companies that had integrations with certain streaming platforms.
Right.
And so they would use that to their advantage and say, hey, if you come with us, we have this. And then the other ones started to complain. Well, T-Mobile, that's an advantage used to you do can't
that. Have. T-Mobile used to be like, oh, you can stream Netflix and it doesn't use your data. And I never hear them talk about that anymore. So I think they might have made that illegal down here too.
Yeah, because it's seen as an unfair advantage.
I don't think O2 actually have a partnership with Apple Music on Spotify. I think they're just doing it. Which I think maybe is why it's allowed, because because anyone could do it, if that makes sense.
Well, the big problem here is, and this is where I get in. If I have a soapbox on social media, this is actually my one soapbox. Our media companies in Canada are so integrated with every section of society's media company. So, like, for example, Bell owns. They are the conglomerate in charge of this particular function. So what they do is they own the cell phone company. So they offer you cell service. They own the internet company. So in some parts of Canada, they offer internet service. They own the television cable. So they offer that. They also have a satellite system. So they offer that. They also have, they own a bunch of TV stations. So they offer that. They have a bunch of sports TV stations. They offer that. They have a bunch of radio stations. So they're literally in every aspect of society. And the problem with it is, when you have 3 to 4 companies basically controlling everything, they have way too much control and they're trying to keep everybody else out. And so we cannot have a company come from Britain or from America and start here. It's fundamentally illegal. So they literally have made it so you cannot start up a company here. To try and gain access to the network is restricted, and they fight tooth and nail with anybody who tries to use their wires to do their thing. Biggest problem that we have, and one of the things that I've always said for years, is one of the things I saw in the UK that I always thought made sense to me was when you have like Offtel or Ofcom, you do have these big companies that do own all this stuff, but they have to separate themselves. I used to work for British Telecom, so I know this. British Telecom has 2 wings or 3 wings that cannot interact with each other, one of which owns all of the cables across the country.
Openreach, that's what it's called now.
And they're not allowed to sell to an advantage to its own company. They can't sell to BT and give them an advantage. Well, in Canada right now, that is not how it works. Those companies that build all this stuff claim that because they spent all the money on the infrastructure, they should be allowed to have the advantage, and they do give themselves advantage, and it becomes a political thing. And I'm sitting there going, that should not be allowed. And I scream to the heavens about it. It's the same reason. That's why they want to tax YouTube and Netflix. And then they want to make it so that, and then on top of it, they, which I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when they go, oh, but by the way, we're going to make it so that you must have Canadian content on YouTube. You must have Canadian content on Netflix. You must have Canadian content on Amazon Prime. You're not allowed to stream up here unless you have these things. And they desperately want that. And they actually raised a law last year that they pushed right up until the election to try and pass to make it so that you had to have mandatory, if you're a Canadian watching YouTube and you're doing it over a Canadian IP and you go to YouTube to look up, say, how to fix your car, you'd have 7 or 8, I drive my car wacky through the streets because it's Canadian, before you'd see anything about a car fixing thing. Like that's the kind of and worse than that, in my opinion, is that it would only benefit the big companies, because it's not going to help like me, who is a Canadian producing content, because I'm not big enough to receive that benefit. Yeah. So instead of helping me, it will actually make it even worse. And I went to MPs about it and just basically raised as much havoc as I possibly could. I'm to no avail, to be perfectly frank, but because I think a lot of
thing about it, how fierce.
Yeah, because a lot of YouTubers in Canada, I don't think realize the consequence of it. I don't think they realize just how bad it would be to them. And YouTube, Google has gone out of their way to actually advertise about it after a fashion.
I've seen that too, yeah.
Yeah. So they're fighting it. But the reality of it is, it's like it's the Canadian government, and their thought process is, well, these guys, you know, they're our bread and butter. A bunch of Canadians work for them. You know, they cry and scream to us all the time. So we got to help them out because they're our culture. And I'm sitting there going, no, this has nothing to do with culture. This has to do with basically making a monopoly and keeping the monopoly. That's all this is about. And it's super frustrating. So
on the note of what you just said, actually, it's because I'm assuming you already know that BT, we have like our big companies, obviously BT, Sky, TalkTalk, and like Virgin Media, who do provide TV, phone, mobile.
Yeah, internet, there's big conglomerates.
But
yeah,
like you said, Openreach, which is a subsidiary of BT, isn't allowed to rent the lines any more cheaply or expensively to BT or anyone else. It has to be the same for everybody.
Yeah, the reason why I know that is I worked for Openreach.
Yeah, well, exactly. So they can't do that. So that is a big benefit. I am actually, my internet is provided by BT. And because where I live, they don't do like Virgin Media or anything, which are much faster. And most people that are YouTubers will go with them, but they don't have that here because they use a very special type of like coaxial cable for their internet, which is like not the same as fiber, but can be faster. And it's very strange. But they just don't offer the services here because those cables aren't fitted. Because, you know, Virgin Media is like that special snowflake company that has to do things their way. Because they don't want anybody else to have control over it.
I found it baffling that when I was looking it up at one time in London, the fact that one street in London can have Virgin Media, but the other street in London can't have Virgin Media. No. And I was like, this is London. We're not talking about like
what they're like. It's very strange because they have to have their own special cable and stuff. It can't be provided through Openreach or whatever. But what they're realizing, obviously, is that their business isn't going to be successful in that way right now, because every other company, Openreach is now laying fiber optic cables to the premises, you know, skipping out the box and going straight to your house, the exchange, which makes it significantly faster. That's what I've just got. I've got fiber to the premises now, because fiber to the cabinet, to the exchange, was terrible. It was so unbelievably slow.
Well, yeah, because it goes to, because you have to go through the same copper lines that you use for telephone.
Yeah, exactly, which is just terrible. Yeah. And no, so good. Now I finally have it to my house. But the way they've done it, which is very interesting, and I don't know if they're doing this in other countries, but it's not underground. Normally they would be underground, but they've decided that it would be a faster rollout if they instead attach them with the purse for your telephone above ground. So I don't know what they've done to protect it. But
yeah, I was about to say, you can't do that in Canada because of the weather. It just wouldn't survive.
But for whatever reason, they've obviously found a way to make it survive. They fitted the cables above ground, which meant no cutting into the ground and stuff, which means a very fast rollout across the country, which I'm sure in the future we'll probably be like, this was a terrible idea because they're easily breaking down and we need loads of maintenance on them. But that's a problem for the future, and my current self is fine having good internet. But you watch it, all it'll take is for a bear to land on the cable and my Netflix goes out. But
she's
the
streaming.
Benefit is that
why does it keep going out every once in a while? Oh, that's a magpie out there.
Yeah, this just keeps landing on walking on the cable. But the benefit is that at the current time we have faster internet because of this system. So I'm not complaining. But I do find it interesting that they've done that because I didn't think you could, but it's quite cool. But all the people around the country that have it under the ground are all gonna be like, haha, when ours goes out above ground. But the thing with OpenReach, obviously getting all these fiber cables to the premises out, is that the internet opportunities now are so much faster than Virgin Media could offer that Virgin Media needs to either decide, are they going to keep playing their own cables or just start renting from OpenReach because they're going to lose business when people are faster than them.
Yeah,
the thing is I'm... Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, the biggest issue will be is you're limiting your customer base because you only have that much rollout and infrastructure is expensive.
Exactly. And I personally, I have 150 down and 30 up, which is more than enough for me and what I use in my house and the way I do YouTube. I could do more if I wanted to make my videos upload faster or whatever, or more people streaming in my house. But I don't need to because that's enough for my family and there's no point in wasting extra money. And it's quite a reasonable price to have that speed. You can go lower. You can go down to like 15 up, 70 down if you want. Exactly. John just made like an ugly face of disgust. But I can also go all the way up to something like, I think it's the maximum is something like 100 up and 900 down. So almost like a gigabit in speed. And I'm sure a gigabit will be offered in the future. But I just don't need that level of speed. There is six people in my house. Two of them are children. One of them plays video games. And that's fine. My parents both watch Netflix and on their phones a bit. My sister's never here. So she's always at her boyfriend's. So like 150 down, 30 up, more than enough for my family. We don't have the unique issue with like Tamira has where she lives in like she said in like apartment block where lots of people are on the same internet and it's like causing
I know exactly what her problem is, and it just comes down to she doesn't have a second provider there, and nobody has, right? So you have a block of flat where everybody has to be on the local cable company, and of course it has the same problem all cable companies have with the internet, which is that the more people you have using it, the worse it's going to be for everybody.
Yeah, because they're all sharing that exchange or whatever.
Yeah, because they literally have nowhere to go and they have to use, like you say, the exchange. And so that's where the issue is. And I tried to explain it to her a few times and she struggled to understand, but that's going to be a constant problem. Even if they up her speed, there's still going to be this issue. The only way it's going to get better is if they completely rewire the place, which we all know how likely that's going to be.
Very, very.
You know, it took them ages to rewire my neighborhood with fiber in the area, and we still haven't taken it up because I don't trust our phone company. But I have six people in my house, but we have, I think I calculated it one time, 50 devices using the internet.
Wow.
And most of them are on. Most of the time. So
that's not very sustainable, John.
No, it's not. Well, we're reducing because as people leave, they take their devices with them. But currently my up is one, or no, my my down is 100 meg, or sorry, let me try that again. My up is 100 meg, my down is 1 gig.
Right.
So
how are you getting that without using fiber?
Because that's the little dirty secret about the coaxial cables. The coaxial cables have tons of data free on them.
Right.
Because they used to carry, because as they carried TV signals, especially the old ones, they needed all of that to carry them.
Right.
But as things have digitalized, they need less and less. They can compress. And of course, for a lot of us now, we've cut our cords, so we're not even watching TV anymore. And so they can even expand that even more. So that's what that's basically the issue is that
you're having those provided through that then.
Yeah. Cause like, I think I talked to somebody about this before, and it was 300 gigabytes is what a coaxial cable can store.
Why aren't we using them all the time? Well, it costs more, isn't it? That's why it costs more than fiber.
Yeah, and they want to make it so that it's expensive. That's what it comes down to. They make money off that deal, so.
Right. So I guess the Virgin Media streets are really benefiting from that coaxial cable then.
Well, the problem with the coaxial cable, from what I've seen, is that the upload is what usually gets you, because it's never as good.
Right.
Like fiber, you can get equal up and down. You can't do that on a coaxial cable. It'll always be lower upload than download.
I have seen that some, like with fiber, you can get like a gig up and down at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is amazing.
Yeah. When I had Google Fiber, we had gigabit internet up and down.
I've heard about Google Fiber because I was American only, but I watch a YouTube channel very actively called Linus Tech Tips. Do you know who it is, John? Mm-hmm.
I think I've heard of it before.
They are based in Canada.
Okay.
That means nothing
to me, because I watch so few Canadian things.
Well, he became so big from his tech review channel that he ended up creating an entire team. So now he offers a lot. He's actually hiring right now for a lot of people. So
nice.
Have a look. but they'll do like all sorts of different tech related job roles. And they have a big office. It's in, where is the office? Linus Tech Tips office. I think it's in British Columbia.
So they're having fun right now.
It is Surrey, British Columbia.
Ah, so Vancouver, basically.
Right. So why are they having fun right now?
They've had flooding, and it actually cut off the city of Vancouver, basically, from the rest of the country, because all the roads that access it, all the major highways, basically had flooded, and they lost 3 or 4 bridges.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, it's been super fun. Climate change, everyone.
Well, if you ever want to, I'll send you a link to their website, because if you open up the sidebar, it has a link to every single one of their YouTube channels. They have a lot of different YouTube channels doing different things. For example, they have Linus Tech Tips, which is the main one. But then they also have like Tech Quickie, which is like a quick like tech thing, Tech Linked, and then Short Circuit. And then they have Mac Address, which is all like Apple stuff. Basically, loads and loads of stuff. But basically, they also have like... they also have jobs available and stuff like that. And I was looking recently, but basically they're always talking about how they've got 10 gigabit up and down for their provider, because they have, and they also have 10 gigabit Ethernet ports in all their computers and stuff in the office to make sure that everybody is getting 10 gigabit up and down. And I was like, holy pum, like that is a lot of internet. That is a lot of speed, like 10 gigabit up and down for their networking. That's insane. But yeah, so that must be fiber then, I'm assuming, if they're able to reach speeds that are that high and also equal out.
Could be 5G.
There is cabling you can get, which is above fiber, which actually allows up to a terabyte up and down.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, it's a specialized cable. It's not like typical fiber stuff. It's fancier. Yeah, it's only going to be for people who have major reasons to want it. And typically it's like when I worked for BT, for example, we had a terabyte cross Atlantic cable. Right. So that I was actually in charge of major incident monitoring for. So basically if the UK lost internet to the USA, I'd be informed.
Right. So yeah, because it's so crazy to think that we're all connected via giant cables that make us able to access each other. It's not all wireless. It's so crazy, isn't it, to think that is all.
And
like
sometimes sharks attack those cables.
Can you imagine if one broke, how bad it would be?
I've been involved with situations where that's happened before. It's not impossible, but usually what they do is they have a lot of redundancies.
Right.
So you can lose one. It's not the end of the world.
Well, it's so crazy to imagine. For those who don't know, you should go and Google it and have a look at the internet cables that connect the world together. It's so cool to look at. It's really, really weird, but it's really cool. What year do they actually fit all those cables, and how? Like, how do you even get those cables in?
They started putting them in back at the beginning of the last century, and they just change them out every once in a while. And it's basically just a long connection of cables that go across the Atlantic, and they change them out periodically.
And they just waterproof under the water and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all been well protected over the years. And like I said, it was one of the things that back in 2002 and 2003, I was part of the people monitoring it on a daily basis.
That's really cool. That must have been interesting.
No, it was really boring, actually, because believe it or not, it doesn't break.
So your job is to monitor if it breaks, but it just never breaks.
Yeah, I never had a real incident happen when I was there. we had other things break down quite often. Like one of the things I used to monitor was ATMs in the East Coast of the United States. And the reason why we were monitoring them is because, of course, it's nighttime over in the UK. So we were monitoring a bunch of stuff around the world. So we monitored like Australian bank stuff and all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So basically, they had a 99.9% uptime. So if there was even the remotest of thing, you were immediately to call. Like, effectively, I wasn't in charge of fixing anything. I was just, my job was to call somebody to go fix it.
Right.
So the most notorious thing that happened for me in that job was in the summer of 2003, there was a major heat wave in Europe. And I was sitting, I guess it was about 5 a.m. in my office. My office, it was an office of like 300 people, but there was only four of us there at the time. And I got a call from somebody saying, oh, the internet's out in such and such a place. And I was like, what? And they're like, oh, actually, no, it's this place, this place. And basically half of London, I believe, went down. Wow. Yeah, because what had happened is insulation is something that the UK does not do. And so they, the boxes, all of their various boxes that held all these networking cabling and cards was not insulated for the heat wave, and the heat wave got the inside of the boxes up to 70 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
And what it did was it melted the solder off of the boards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically all of these boards were gone. It wasn't like you just go in and fix something remotely. No, no, no. You have to go in and manually replace every one of those boards. And that was entertaining.
I can imagine it's very difficult to deal.
Yeah, well, I got in all sorts of, it was a big kerfuffle anyway. But the other one that was interesting was one that broke in Manchester. That was a box where basically some kids decided it'd be really fun to set on fire. And then when the firemen went to try and put it out, they started throwing rocks at them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it just burned to the ground. The engineer phoned me, says, we can't do anything. These kids are just literally chucking rocks at us the minute we go anywhere near it. So the box just burned to the ground.
I'm going to be real. That sounds like a very Florida thing.
I mean, it kind of does. But let's be honest, if you've ever been to Manchester, it's kind of a Manchester thing, too.
I have to say, Manchester's got a lot better over the years. They've really done a lot.
Probably. Yeah. This
maybe,
is
maybe haven't.
To be fair, this is two decades ago now. But yeah, that was the most notorious one. The other one that I was involved in was a wire cut in that happened south of Newcastle that took out the entire city of Newcastle's internet. That was fun. And I had to basically sit on the phone with the engineer while he's repairing it going, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet?
So that you can confirm to everybody that it's fixed.
Yeah, yeah. And that was my job, was basically just to get on all these unionized engineers who weren't really bothered to actually get moving sometimes. So,
well, that's a lot to learn in one podcast episode.
Yeah, this has been way too educational, I think.
James has probably learned so much today.
Yep.
Or he's asleep. Take your pick.
Yeah, because James has been up too late, haven't you?
No, I'm just helping out your new mod with a few of the things that she can do in the Twitch chat.
Yeah, because I got a new mod recently, so we're trading them at the moment. Which has been a nice experience because they're very receptive. They're a very good person to be a mod. It was a good pick. Well, with that said, thank you all very much for joining me for the podcast again. It was nice. I love it because every single time, my whole goal with the podcast is that it just becomes a big babbly, like, long thing. And I love that we're just continuing on with this crazy long chatter and stuff every time. So thank you all for joining me. Thank you for listening if you did. And I will hopefully see you all in the next episode of the podcast. Don't forget, if you are watching on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, please do leave a review if you can. A positive review would really help. If you're on Spotify, unfortunately, you can't leave reviews, but you can subscribe to the podcast for free, which does help. And I will see you all next time. Thanks, John, James, and Sabrina. See you guys soon.
Bye.
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 Thanks so much for tuning in to This Week with Bee. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out more of what I create by going over to youtube.com/BeePlaysRoblox, or of course heading over to my Twitter, twitter.com/BeePlaysRBLX, to check out more of the things I make on the various different websites that I create content on. And if you would like to support the podcast and of course me, be sure to check out our official merch store over at BeePlays.shop. I appreciate all of you for your time, and I can't wait to see you, or I guess, can't wait for you to listen to the next episode.